You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. You got Patriots or Steelers, Chicago or Detroit. Well, let me tell you this. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in the business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just 2 business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash and win big today. You are listening to an NFL season preview. Green Bay Packers, 10-6 last season, made the playoffs. No, they didn't reach their goal. But they added tight end Martellus Bennett. Very overlooked acquisition. And offensively, they were already the second best on third downs. And I think I like the defense a tad more than you do. I think the D gets more interceptions and sacks than you actually think. And that secondary is talented. Morgan Burnett, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Quinton Rollins, Devon House, Demarius Randall. It's a lot of talent. I know they're young. But I think that's a lot of talent, and they're going to continue to grow together. And it helps that they can slide Clay Matthews outside full-time again with Nick Perry off the edge. That's some pressure. That is some pressure. That's Green Bay set up to succeed on the defensive side of the football, and you only have to be solid enough when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who I believe will be this season's most valuable player on your team. It helps to have that guy on your team, of course. I like Ty Montgomery at running back. I saw Green Bay go out and draft 3 more running backs. You know, when you have more than one, you probably don't have one. I understand that type of thinking. I think Montgomery has some talent. It's going to be used. Might be used in the passing game even on some swings and mismatches against linebackers. I mean, think about it. Anytime you get a wide receiver against a linebacker, you think that's a mismatch. Well, this wide receiver just happens to be starting in the backfield with some, you know, he has some momentum under him. By the time these linebackers meet up to defend him, he might be blown by or running wheel routes. So, yeah, Jordy Nelson, I think, is an elite receiver, like him or not. I don't call him deceptively slow because of the way he looks. He's fast, even after his ACL injury. He's a smooth route runner. Randall Cobb is best serviceable as a number 2. It's not a knock on him. A lot of people were down on him when Jordy got hurt, and they didn't think Randall stepped up enough. And then there's Devontae Adams. Very good receiver as well. I like that trio, and they added Bennett to it, the offensive line. They're good. They're not elite. They're not 1 through 10 or anything like that, but they're good. They're close to 10, if not there. And I think the Packs are going to win this division again in the NFC North, and I think they'll be getting a first-round bye. Detroit Lions, 9-7. Only a game behind the Packers, I know, but, you know, it's not pretty football. And when it's not pretty football and those games can go either way, they tend to do go either way the other season. The good news is they drafted corner Jalen Tabor, who joins Darius Slay, and at safety, Glover Quinn. So that secondary, it's formidable. At middle linebacker, they inserted rookie, who they just drafted as well, Jerod Davis, one of the top linebacking prospects out there. He was a first-round pick, and they also drafted Kenny Golladay at wide receiver. Yes, Golden Tate, he's good. He's going to kick into the slot at times. Marvin Jones is another deep threat, but Golladay has been the red zone threat all offseason, including the preseason games. It's a huge target that's been snagging everything, so he's getting a lot of hype. This offense was top 10 on third downs. I saw Matthew Stafford take a step forward. He lost Calvin Johnson. No more Megatron, but he took a step forward, took more ownership of this team, and became more of a leader. And I saw that, and I like it. I'm just not sure his whole team is that talented. There's talent, but are they that talented to make the playoffs 2 years in a row? I'm not sure I buy into this coaching staff either. But offensively, to help Matthew Stafford, they did go out and invest in some new offensive tackles. Greg Robinson on one side, Ricky Wagner on the other side. And what helped the Lions in those ugly games? Matt Prater, 7 for 7 when it comes to field goals beyond 50 yards. And the special teams chimed in, tied for first in punt return touchdowns with two. So that helps a lot. Again, this is another team that I believe will be in the playoff picture come December. I just don't think they make it. I don't see enough there in Detroit to say, yep, they're going to the playoffs. Minnesota Vikings, 8-8 last season. You should be scratching your head, how? How did the Vikings go 8-8 last season? Teddy Bridgewater went down. Sam Bradford had a couple of weeks to prepare. Adrian Peterson got hurt. Three offensive tackles, not just their starter, but their top backup, they all got injured. Then they had to sign a guy off the couch, Jake Long, and he's no longer in the league. Put it this way. I like the Vikings. Sam Bradford led the league in completion percentage. He did what he was supposed to do. He didn't have much time to do it. He didn't have AP to hand the ball off to. He didn't have protection coming off the edge all season. We're talking Ezekiel Ansah from the Lions. We're talking Clay Matthews and Nick Perry. We're talking the Bears front seven, who might make their presence felt this season. We'll touch on them next. But what I'm saying is the NFC has some pass rushers. His division has some pass rushers. And, you know, Bradford was the only quarterback in all of football to have a higher completion percentage than Drew Brees. Both hit the 70% mark. What helps? They moved on from AP. They drafted Dalvin Cook, one of the explosive running backs in the draft. They pair him with free agent signing Latavius Murray, a bigger running back. And similar to the Lions and Stafford, they went out and got Bradford some new tackles, Riley Reiff, who comes over from Detroit, and Mike Remmers. Some veteran guys that play either average or above average football. And this Vikings defense, I'm a big fan of Mike Zimmer. It's elite. I'm a big fan of Harrison Smith. I like Xavier Rhodes at corner. Defensive end Danielle Hunter, 12.5 sacks last season. He tied for third in all of football. And then this Vikings special teams tied for the most return TDs with three on the year. The only downside to their special teams is that they missed 7 extra points, which is first. It's the most extra points missed all of last season at 7. It's not a good number. But as you look at the schedule for the Vikings, the first month presents some favorable positional matchups. And actually, when you look week 1 through 17, they have the most favorable matchups of any team in the league. And I'm talking positional, not necessarily the strength of schedule. The middle of the season, just as favorable as the beginning of the season. The end of the season, just as favorable. I mean, the schedule is slated for the Vikings to have a bounce back season. Remember, they made the playoffs 2 years ago. AP did a phenomenal job. But now they feel like they've replaced them enough between Cook and Murray. Cook, I think, might win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think he quite wins it because there's a guy that is probably going to get the rock a little bit more in Leonard Fournette. And I say that because Cook is going to be splitting some of the carries with Murray. Fournette, yeah, I know they have a couple other backs that started before him. Fournette's the guy in Jacksonville. Dalvin Cook, he might become the guy eventually. But you don't go out and get Latavius Murray for no reason either. But yeah, I think the Vikings, they're going to be in the playoff hunt come December. As far as the playoff picture, the NFC is tough. It is tough. I know Kyle Rudolph at tight end had a career season last year. I know Adam Thielen became a playmaker last year, kind of like Cole Beasley. I know all that. Can Laquon Treadwell, last year's number one pick, not be invisible on the field this time around? I mean, if Bradford is completing high percentage passes, kind of like Alex Smith, but even better because he was first in all of football, if they have two running backs capable, one with power, one with speed, and they have four weapons to throw to, not great, but Stephon Diggs, you know, they have role players on that team is really what they have. And then on defense, Anthony Barr, you got Kendricks in the middle. Man, I'm telling you, this Vikings team, watch out. Watch out. You might be sleeping on Bradford. You know, I'm not saying he's special, but he might be better than you think. Minnesota makes the playoffs. Chicago Bears, 3-13 season. The only good that came out of that, besides getting the third pick in the draft and trading some others to get the second pick of the draft and drafting Mitch Trubisky, the only other thing to come out of that, Jordan Howard, fifth round pick, finished second in rushing only to Ezekiel Elliott. And on top of that, in the draft, they get a change of pace guy in Tariq Cohen, who a lot of people think is the next Darren Sproles. He plays in that type of mold. For the time being, Mitch Trubisky will be learning with the playbook in his hand and in the film room behind veteran Mike Glennon, who has some starting experience. He goes under center week one. Bears also signed Quinton Dents, who tied for the second most picks in the NFL last season with 6 when he played for the Texans. He joins the Bears secondary along with Prince Amukamara at cornerback. The Bears had tied for the worst turnover ratio last season with negative 20. Something, you know, I'm not sure they'll be at negative 20. I do expect improvement. I just don't know how much. But I will say this. They have a strong linebacking group. Willie Young, Leonard Floyd, Pernell McPhee, Jarrell Freeman, Danny Trevathan. They got some linebackers in the Windy City. Thing is, for some wide receivers that were drafted in the first round, this might be their last go-around. I'm talking about Kevin White and Kendall Wright. So, I mean, for former first-round picks, there should be some level of expectation in Chicago. The first month of the season and the last month of the season, Bears have a chance to stay in some games and maybe steal a few. That's where the schedule's easier for them. That's where most of the positional matchups fall in their favor, in the green zone as opposed to the red zone. Middle of the season's about average. That's what you expect for a team that only won three games and landed the third pick. So, yeah, not a tough schedule, but they got some rebuilding to do on offense. They really do. And it hurts that Cam Meredith got injured. That doesn't help. But like I said, they got Kevin White, Kendall Wright. They picked up Marcus Wheaton from Pittsburgh. So, I mean, they got some guys that have some sort of expectations on various levels. Nonetheless, Bears are one of the five teams that I suspect not having a chance at the postseason, being Chicago, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Cleveland, and the New York Jets. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use promo code CODE to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.